Hello, welcome to Feasting on the Word for this week. This is May the 25th when this discipline is coming out. I think I've expressed in a couple of the past weeks that I have really appreciated my own commitment to maintaining this discipline because it forces me in some ways to spend more time with God's Word. Yes, I spend time reading Scripture, and particularly in investing in Scripture as associated with worship each Sunday. But to spend time like this, just to listen, is something very different. And it really does help me to be a little more intentional in that listening for how the Scripture speaks and informs who I am. So the discipline of feasting on the Word is a really ancient Christian practice. We link ourselves into monastic practice of just letting God's Word speak. It's been likened to feasting on the Word. The ancient name for it is Lectio Divina, a Latin term. But it's been likened to feasting on the Word because it is as if with the first reading, we take a small little bite or taste of the Scripture. And then as we sit in silence, we savor that flavor, and then after that silence, we take another bite, and we get another sort of wave of the flavors of that Scripture in the silence that follows that. And then with the third bite, we, in the longer period of silence, you might say this is our point at which we really digest, we swallow that down, and it becomes part of who we are and informs us. And then the fourth reading of the Scripture is letting it nourish and nurture us for what lies ahead from the inside out. So feasting on the Word. Our passage this week is coming to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 24, and I'll be using four different translations of the same passage just to give us an opportunity to kind of hear it a little differently each of those four times. So a minute of silence following the first reading, 1 minute following the second reading, a longer period of 3 minutes following the third reading as an opportunity for us to turn to God in prayer during that longer silence, and then the discipline concludes with the fourth and final reading. So let's get into it. First, from the New Revised Standard Version. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scholar? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of the proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews ask for signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles, but to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Our second reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 24 from the Message. The message that points to Christ on the cross seems like sheer silliness to those hell-bent on destruction, but for those on the way of salvation, it makes perfect sense. This is the way God works, and most powerfully, as it turns out. It's written, I'll turn conventional wisdom on its head. I'll expose so-called experts as shams. So where can you find someone truly wise, truly educated, truly intelligent in this day and age? Hasn't God exposed it all as pretentious nonsense? Since the world in all its fancy wisdom never had a clue when it came to knowing God, God in his wisdom took delight in using what the world considered stupid, preaching of all things, to bring those who trust him into the way of salvation. While Jews clamor for miraculous demonstrations and Greeks go in for philosophical wisdom, we go right on proclaiming Christ the crucified. Jews treat this like an anti-miracle, and Greeks pass it off as absurd. But to us who are personally called by God himself, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's ultimate miracle and wisdom all wrapped up in one. Our third reading of 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 24, the Modern English Version. For to those who are perishing, the preaching of the cross is foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made the wisdom of this world foolish? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save those who believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. But to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, we preach Christ as the power of God and the wisdom of God. our fourth and final reading of 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 24 from the New International Version. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. This is the inspired word of God. Thanks be to God.